You have one of your best passers out of bounds, Vasquez.
With DeRozan. They have a timeout to use. Vasquez looking. Still looking. Gets it to Lowry. At 5 seconds, Lowry. Williams, a tight defense. Here is Lowry on the deck. Through two. Lowry put it up. It's blocked by Pierce. And the Nets win the series. As Paul Pierce, waiting in front of the rim, denies the shot and sends Brooklyn to the second round.
A strong offseason for the Raptors front office should serve as the launching pad for bigger and better things from the reigning Atlantic Division champs. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan comprise one of the best and most potent backcourt duos in the league. And now they both have the sort of playoff experience needed to ascend to the next level. Jonas Valanciunas is poised for big things as the Raptors' center of attention. An elite rebounder, he has to become more of an offensive threat this season to give the Raptors punch inside. Finishing among the top three teams in the Eastern Conference last season was a surprise. An element the Raptors will forfeit this season with basically their entire playing rotation returning. Dwayne Casey, working on a fresh new contract, has to find the right tweaks to keep this crew rising up the ranks. Now that he's back in the fold with a brand new contract, you have to wonder, is Kyle Lowry ready to lead this team to that next level, which means out of the first round of the playoffs?
Sportsfeld!
It is Sportsfeld story time. We are using this every month. We look back at some of the best and some of the worst moments of our fandom as we grow into the championship-loving city we have become. We are looking back in honor of the Toronto Raptors NBA championship. We are looking back to the beginning of the We the North run. It's the 2014 playoff run. It all started with the Rudy Gay trade, got them a bunch of role players and helped them build out the depth that would become what they use first and foremost to trade for Kawhi Leonard, and later on to build a deep enough team to compete without him. A really important year in the Raptors' culture as Masai Ujiri, his first full season at the helm, and really making himself a public figure, starting off their playoff series with the Fuck Brooklyn address, and then a back-and-forth, hard-fought series where the Raptors come up just short on Kyle Lowry's layup attempt, where he went a little bit one-on-five and ended up running into Paul Pierce. Jake, looking back, now that we've done what we thought beforehand and then what we thought while watching it, and now looking back, having rewatched it all, what do you feel about the 2014 Raptors run?
I mean, I think it's obviously been colored by the fact that they won a title last year. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was like heartbreaking. Like, I remember being so low when the Raptors lost game 7. But I think now, looking back on it, you can't, honestly, of the whatever 6 playoff runs, including the finals win, this is probably like the 4th best. Like, Washington was obviously the lowest, and then just getting owned by LeBron for several years was really annoying. And this was kind of just like all optimism in a lot of ways. This was the start of something. And obviously it didn't finish for DeMar the way we expected it to, but it did for Kyle. And, you know, I look at where Lowry was in, because obviously when we're talking about the Raptors of the 2010s, Kyle Lowry's always the main character. And so when I think about where Lowry was in 2013-14, how we almost traded him and like bags packed, almost traded until James Dolan chickened out, and how he was quote unquote uncoachable and out of shape and fighting with Casey and was not the guy to go forward. And then you cut to 2019 after they beat the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals and the entire ACC is chanting his name. It's like, it all starts here. And I think it's easy to, obviously, championship heals all wounds, and it's easy to look back, but it's also crazy to think, like, this was only 5 years before the championship.
Oh, yeah.
It feels a lot longer, obviously, because of time, but, like, it wasn't that long between getting blocked by Paul Pierce and scoring 16 or whatever it was in game six against the Warriors.
You know, something else that I have really put together in rewatching this and as you say, sort of to the counter of your point about how recent it was, it's also struck me how amazing it is, how long this window has stayed open. Like, I think we sort of have gotten a little skewed in the world of LeBron and the world of the Golden State Warriors, where like a 7-year window of being really competitive is like really crazy. They never had this before. They never made the playoffs for more than 3 years in a row before this. And a couple of those teams were like 500 teams that were the eighth seed. Like, they are a top half of the division, 50 win team going forward from this point. And I think, you know, this team obviously gets lauded a lot for organizational excellence and for leadership and for it being about player development. But I don't think even in that, we give enough credit for how long they are able to extend the window of Kyle, how long they're able to extend the window of replenishing the G League and coming up with new signings and complementary players and rebuilding the bench, basically completely overhauling it over the course of this last couple of years. Like, it's a really impressive feat in franchise building and in sort of investing back into the team from the top down.
Yeah, and I think it's not only your extending the window point is interesting too, because now all the conversation is about taking, like, almost taking a break for a year before they extend the window again.
Again, I'm proud of our guys. It's the way they've battled the entire year. This group has a lot of stuff in front of them, a lot of basketball in front of them. This organization is in a good spot, and they're going to be good in the future.
Yes, and, you know, the next, to your point of the next year, the next step also seemed really evident every other year. Like this year's step was to, by this year, I mean 2013, 2014, that step was to re-become a playoff team. It would be a lie to say that they had established themselves. The year after this becomes about proving that the year before that wasn't a fluke. And then the year after that became about proving that they actually are a 50-win team. And then they made the Eastern Conference Finals. And the year after that became, let's prove we can get past LeBron. And then that didn't work. And it became, let's prove again we can get past LeBron. And that didn't work. And then it was, let's prove we are not a team that is just going to falter when they go up against LeBron, get a better player. And then the year after that, the season we just saw was a year about defending the title. So I do see your point is, what is the theme of 2020-2021? Is it about restarting the cycle? Is it about keeping the window open with a brand new sort of leadership? Are you next year, are you saying, now the team is Fred and Pascal? Or are you trying to extend the Kyle Surge window? Very interesting to see sort of where they go as they are coming up now, where the real-life 2020 offseason is sort of the exact opposite of what this offseason was. Because this offseason, the 2014 offseason, was very much Masai, it's the first year of starting your franchise mode. You're not even building. You're first just taking down things that you didn't need. They draft Bruno.
With the 20th pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Toronto Raptors select Bruno Caboclo from São Paulo, Brazil. He last played for Pinheiros in Brazil.
They move Steve Novak. They sign James Johnson. It's funny. If you check the transactions page for this team, you can see around the beginning of 2015, they really begin the G League as a developmental part of this team. It's like there's absolutely no G League movement, And then there is about seven moves in a row that is all just filtering Bruno and Bebe up and down, getting them reps. Then, of course, we get the real big one, the real, I think, the franchise-altering move before the franchise-altering move is on draft night, June 25th, 2015, they trade Grievous Vasquez for Norm Powell and a first. Not just Norm Powell for Grievous Vasquez, Norm Powell and OG Anunoby for Grievous Vasquez. Thank you, Milwaukee Bucks. That is ridiculous theft.
This 2014 offseason is actually less busy than I remember it being. I think because exactly what you're saying about how all the G League movement and the Norm Powell trade, that all gets and also because 2014, 2015 was kind of a forgettable year, it all sort of gets conflated in my brain. Like, I was ready to be like, oh, they made all these moves between 2014 and 2015. And the 2015 team was kind of unchanged for the most part, save for a James Johnson here and a Chuck Hayes there. And then getting, it's always interesting to me how Masai responds to difficulties. They get absolutely pumped by the Wizards in that disappointing series. And then he goes, okay, let's start a full rebuild. And then you get guys like Norm, you get guys like OG, you get guys like Fred and Pascal and Pirtle. It's just, it's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's, you're right. It does seem to be the biggest moves, his most impactful things seem to come right after their biggest disappointments, right? The big trade for getting rid of Rudy Gay came after they fell to the 6-12 and got shit kicked by the Suns. The impetus to get rid of Grievous and to change the bench comes after getting smacked by the Wizards. The impetus to trade DeMar and fire Casey comes after getting smacked around by LeBron. It is very interesting to see what that next critical moment will be in this franchise. Maybe we say that next critical moment is getting outbid for one of your players coming back. I don't know. If you had to imagine a slight that motivates Masai Ujiri now, what do you think that'll be? Maybe it's just the Alameda County Sheriff.
Yeah. I don't think Masai needs a lot of motivation to tell people to fuck themselves. So,
and I guess it's different when the team is already at the very top level. You don't need to fish the same way you would to get yourself pumped up to continue to be very, very good. In this coming season, I'll just sort of quickly wrap this up. They went 49-33, one game better than the year before. Good enough for another Atlantic Division title. Fourth seed in the East. They host the 4-5 against the Wiz, as we said. They were actually a top seed for the first 2 months. They went 2-8 in January. DeMar DeRozan missed a bunch of time. And Kyle Lowry named a starter to the All-Star game, a thing that would become a regular occurrence. He gets in over Dwayne Wade thanks to an online campaign. I cannot believe I am reading these words. It was an online campaign by Stephen Harper and Justin Bieber. You talk about 2014, 2015. That is the sign of the times.
I'm not sure. I don't think. Yeah. Sorry, I think I should reword my notes there. It wasn't an online campaign by them, but they were
right.
Proponents of it.
Justin Bieber, an early adopter of being pro Kyle Lowry. He becomes the third Raptor to start an All-Star game, but they sputter going into the playoffs, winning just 13 of their final 29. They're below 500 in the last couple months. Lowry had back spasms throughout the end. They still win the division by 9 games. Man, that division was bad and continued to be bad for quite some time. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I looked up their record and saw how easily they won, especially the way they finished the season. They still win by 9 games. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that's right. Because that was the whole thing, too. It was like, oh, they're Atlantic Division champs by default. It's like winning the AL Central. It's like, okay, good for you.
Yeah, well, and it is hard to sort of properly gauge how much of that is rightful and how much of that is they were sort of in a, because they aren't similar to when we look back at the 2016 team. You go, man, that team is both better and not as good as I expected. I think that is part of sort of trying to figure out this edge of it. Anyway, that is it for another look back for another month. The 2014 Raptors, a team We will remember to forget. I will say, I will keep this team in mind. Now that we've gone back and looked at it, I will keep this team in mind when the narrative over Kyle and DeMar ever gets a little too out of control, because they were totally fine in this series. There's about one bad game each, and Kyle isn't great in the last possession. But otherwise, I think a forgotten chapter in that era of the team's playoff work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that it's funny how short those bad years really... It was really only like 4 years that that narrative was created.
Yes. And RIP to that narrative, because Raptors are champions and the whole league knows Kyle Lowry is a badass. Anyway, that will do it for us for another month. If you have a look back you want us to tackle, throw it into the Patreon channel on the Discord for Storytime. It's hashtag Storytime. We hope you enjoyed October's version of Sportsfeld Storytime.